because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. The disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover. Now Jesus has spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died. And for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him. So Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him. Last Lord's Day, we began looking at chapter 11 of the Gospel of John, and we considered the first 6 verses. And there we saw that those moments when we feel God is delaying to respond to us in any given situation, particularly the situations that do trouble us, those are delays of divine love. God still loves his children, and he hears them when they cry. And in those moments when you feel God is delaying, remember, those are delays of divine love. This morning we move to verse 7 through to verse 10, and here we see the need to submit to God's sovereign purposes in all things. The need to submit to God's sovereign purposes. And this is seen in the decision and the invitation of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples when he tells them, let's go to Judea again. Judea was a place where Jesus was almost stoned to death, when you read John chapter 10 and verse 31. And so going back to Judea meant danger because of that experience they had, as recorded in John chapter 10. But Jesus had to submit to his Father's will, his Father's purpose, his Father's calling for him while he was on earth. His time was set by his Father, and his duty was to fulfill that task or that time set by his Father. And the challenge to all of us, or the lesson to all of us, is this. We must learn to submit to God's purposes in life, to God's purposes for our lives. Our times on this earth are set by God, and therefore our responsibility is to fulfill that time which God has called us to fulfill. And our goal should be to obey God and to glorify him in everything that we do in this life. So let's open up those verses from verse 7 through to verse 10 and draw some lessons for ourselves this morning. The first thing I'd like to draw your attention to is this. God's dealings with his children are puzzling at times. God's dealings, or God's dealing with his children, are puzzling at times. They are perplexing at times. They are confusing at times. And where do we get this? Let's read verse 7 and verse 8 again. Then after this, he said to his disciples, let us go to Judea again. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again? And take note of how the Lord Jesus Christ announces his decision to go to Bethany to help Lazarus. The Lord Jesus Christ he announced it by inviting his disciples. And he's saying to them, let us go to Judea again. Now, apart from the context, this was a puzzling thing to say. We might have expected our Lord to say to his disciples, let us go and help Lazarus. Or he could have perhaps said, let us go to Bethany. Or let us go to the house of Martha and Mary. But in him saying, let us go into Judea again, he was deliberately choosing a word which would remind the disciples of what awaited them in that area. He was being specific of where he wanted them to accompany him. He wanted them that when they think of Judea, they are reminded of the incident where the Lord Jesus Christ was almost stoned to death. And so when he talks about going back to Judea, his disciples were puzzled. It was this same place where the Jews had tried to stone their master. And to return to that place is to plunge in the midst of danger. The Lord Jesus Christ could have raised Lazarus from a distance. But nevertheless, he was willing to go to Judea again. Despite the warnings of the disciples saying, Lord, maybe in case you've forgotten, do you mean that place where you escaped for your life because they wanted to stone you? In a sense, the disciples were really questioning the wisdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why go to Judea again? But the Lord Jesus Christ, in expressing the matter in this way, he was testing his disciples to see whether they really trusted God or not. Whether they really trusted God, that God is able to order their lives, or whether they trusted God with the ordering of their lives. And whether or not they were willing, really willing, to spend whatever time they might have had in Christ's service. The Lord Jesus Christ had said to his disciples before, when you read John 5 and verse 19, he had said to them in John 5 verse 19, that he only did what the Father told him to do. And so every action, every word, everything that Christ did was carried out in complete obedience to his Father. And thus the disciples' reaction to the invitation and the announcement of the Lord Jesus Christ to go to Judea reveals a lack of understanding of what Christ had been saying to them and his mission in this world. Yes, it was true. The Jews wanted to stone him. But to challenge the wisdom of Christ in returning to Judea was ultimately a challenge or a questioning of the Father's wisdom. And we see that the disciples did not automatically submit to God's purposes as revealed in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if the disciples had not gone with Christ to Judea, they would have not seen the glorious miracle of raising Lazarus to life. But the lesson is this: God's dealings with his children are puzzling at times. It's not all the time that God's dealings with his children are so clear. At times, they are puzzling. The children of God are often placed in circumstances in this world just as puzzling and confusing as those of the disciples in this situation. God's children are led in ways in which they cannot see immediately the purpose of God, the wisdom of God. The path they are obliged to walk in is not a path of their own choosing. And in the midst of that path, they question God's wisdom. They doubt God's wisdom. They really want to know, is God really saying, this is what I should do? Is God really calling me to go to this particular place or to get in this service for him? There are those moments when we seem confused in God's dealings with us. What defies human reasoning is upheld when the glory of God is the driving motivation and the sovereignty of God is the guiding force. What defies human reasoning is upheld when the glory of God is the motivation and the sovereignty of God is the guiding force. And this is what we see in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the same principle, the same lesson that moves Christians into places which are notoriously known for being against anything Christianity. This is why you see Christians going into places where they've heard that others have been killed because of their faith. And yet they go into those same places to share and spread the gospel of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The glory of God is the motivation and the driving force, rather the guiding force, is the sovereignty of God. This is what we need to learn as God's children. Even when we feel puzzled at how God is unfolding his purposes in our lives, we must remember to submit to his sovereign will. He knows better, and he's saying that we trust him. And remember, child of God, a time may come when you'll be called to take some journey in your life which you may greatly dislike. When that time comes, set out cheerfully and believing in God's sovereign purposes. And this is why the Lord Jesus Christ was able to say to his disciples, let's go to Judea again. What was the driving force? It was the glory of God the Father. And the sovereignty of God was the guiding force for the Lord Jesus Christ. And he was able to say, we are going into the very place where the Jews tried to stone us. God's dealings with his children at times are puzzling. they are confusing. They are not always clear. But his purposes still stand. The second thing we note from the passage is this. God gives each of us a certain amount of time, and nothing can shorten it. God gives each of us a certain amount of time, and nothing can shorten it. Verse 9 and verse 10. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." There is enough time for everything to be done. The disciples did recognize the danger of going into Judea. But they had not learned that all of Christ's time was divinely determined by the Father. And so we see here the Lord Jesus Christ begins by asking a question to his disciples. Are they not 12 hours in a day? This question was intended to set them thinking. And then the answer or the comments of the Lord Jesus Christ are the figures of speech used to illustrate a beautiful and a comforting spiritual truth to the disciples. The Lord Jesus Christ is taking this journey into Bethany to illustrate some spiritual truth to the disciples. You remember in John 9 verse 4, the Lord Jesus Christ had used this figure of speech when he talked about night cometh when no man doeth any work. And so the disciples had some understanding or some idea of what Christ was referring to. And now here, when he speaks of the fact that there is time given to each one of us to do what is required of us, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying to them that the light of days refers to the length of life on earth. And we walk and work while we have life. We walk while we have life on earth. When death comes, there is no more life in the life, and the work ceases. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, going back to Judea, where people try to kill him, stone him to death, Jesus was basically saying, "I have work to do, and my life is not yet over until the full length of light, the full length of day, the full length of time that my Father has determined has come to an end. My life will not end." The Lord Jesus Christ was not fearful of the danger in Judea. His life was not going to be cut short by his enemies 1 minute earlier or 1 minute before the time appointed by the Father. Again, this is something we must learn. God gives us a certain amount of time, and nothing can shorten it. And that's the confidence you can have as God's child. That even though you do not have the knowledge that Christ had of the Father, your confidence is in not in knowing what the Father has determined for you, but your confidence lies in the fact that God the Father, who's loved you in Christ, has determined your life, and therefore your life is working according to His timetable. He is the one who's determined it for you. That's the confidence we have in the knowledge that nothing will come to pass in my life without passing through the hands of a sovereign God, the sovereign ruler of the skies. He's the one who determines all things. And when He calls us to work, we must engage in that work, trusting Him who's determined all things to see us through to the very end. From our human perspective, we say that those who die before they are old, or before they reach old age, we say they died before their time. But in reality, is that they died at the right time when God said they would die. Even if the cause of death is tragic, God had set the boundaries and they could not go beyond. God appoints our time of death. He's made that appointment on your behalf. He did not need to consult you. And this is the appointment you will not miss. And when He has determined, you cannot go too early or too late. Therefore, we can all say and be confident that I will not die until I finish the race that God has determined for me. I will not die until God says you cannot go any further. And therefore, while we have time, we must recognize that God is the one who has the timetable. He's the one who's determined. And when He gives us an opportunity, we must engage and labor for Him. For we do not know what lies ahead of us or what tomorrow may bring. You are not going to die too soon or too late. God has given us a certain number of days, and we shall have all of those days. And then that time that God has given us will come to an end. This is why we see the Lord Jesus Christ asking His disciples, are they not 12 hours in a day? The last thing I want us to see is this. There is an appointed time for everything under the sun. There is an appointed time for everything under the sun. Again, verse 9 and 10. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. There is an appointed time for everything under the sun. God, in his sovereign purposes, in his sovereign wisdom, has fixed time for everything under the sun. And this means that you should not waste your time in endless pursuits that do not satisfy. You should not waste your time pursuing worldly, sensual pleasures that do not satisfy your soul. Time is precious. Nothing can lengthen it. Hence, it must be used wisely. Use it wisely while you have it. You do not have extra time in your life. And this is why Christ asked the disciples, are they not 12 hours in the day? He did not ask them, are they not 13 hours in the day? He wants them to know that the times that the Father has fixed has a time. There's no extra time. You do not have extra lives. You have one life. And that life must be not used wasting away in worldly pursuits, because they will not satisfy your soul. They must be used in service to him who created you. Don't waste your life. That's what Christ is saying. What the Bible is saying to all of us here. And the Lord Jesus Christ goes on to say to his disciples that there are only two possible ways to walk in this world. You either walk in light or in darkness. To walk in light is to walk according to the revelation of God, no matter where that takes you. But if you're walking according to his revelation, that's walking in light. To walk in a way that disregards God's revealed truth is to walk in darkness. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying here that real danger are not those risks that you might face when walking in obedience to God. Those are not real dangers. Real danger is when you walk in darkness away from God, contrary to God. That's where the danger lies. Because one day you stand before this holy God, and your life that was lived in darkness will be shown for what it is. And this God will usher you into the lake of fire for eternity. That's where the danger is. Not when you walk in obedience to God, even if it means going into places that may cause you to be killed for your faith. Christ is saying, those are not real dangers. Is to be separated from the God of light for eternity. That is the danger. When you faithfully stand in Christ, trusting him wholeheartedly, then he will dwell in you, and you in him. And therefore, his light will be in you. There is an appointed time for everything under the sun. Read the book of Ecclesiastes. Solomon, in his wisdom, looked at these cycles of life on earth. And he says in chapter 3, there is time to be born. and there's time to die. There's time to cry and time to laugh. There's time to sow and time to reap. Saying to us, there is an appointed time for everything under the sun. And the danger is when you want to skip that appointed time, or the danger is when you want to do that which God does not want you to do at a particular time. Therein lies the danger. When God wants you to live and behave as a teenager, and yet in your own wisdom you want to behave and live like a father or a mother, you decide to engage in all manner of sensualities, therefore becoming pregnant or impregnating someone, and instead of you enjoying life as a teenager, you want now to begin to take up responsibilities of the father, and your entire life gets distorted. There is time appointed by God for everything. One generation come and another generation go. One generation may be rising, but at the same time another generation is dying off. Some of you are wondering how time flies on earth. Once upon a time you are young, but now you are old. And yet your memories of your childhood or your teenage years, your young adult years are still fresh in your mind. But time has gone. And soon the younger generation will become the older generation. And then there will be a generation after that. There is time appointed for everything under the sun. Today's fashion will be tomorrow's trash. Today's trash was yesterday's fashion. So many changes. But God's scheme of life for you under the earth still remains the same. It's to believe in His Son for the forgiveness of your sins. Because in His Son there is life, and life in abundance. And God wants you, as you look at life on earth, as you look at each appointed thing on this earth, God wants you to seek that which ultimately will satisfy you. The uselessness of life without God is in order to show us the significance of life with God in Christ Jesus. The uselessness of life without God is in order to show us the significance of life with God in Christ Jesus. How many of you present this morning have tried all manner of pursuits hoping to find satisfaction, and you've been left disappointed? How many of you, like Solomon, have tried wisdom, have tried entertainment, have tried knowledge, have tried all things, and yet you still come to this realization that there's still something lacking? I cannot find pleasure or happiness in any of these things. As St. Augustine says, there's a God-created vacuum in all of us that cannot be satisfied by any created things but God Himself. There is a God-created vacuum in all of us that cannot be satisfied by any created things but God himself. And the question I ask you this morning is, have you recognized that there is time for everything? There's an appointed time for everything under the sun. And have you realized that maybe today is that appointed time for you to meet with your God, for you to turn away from sin and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sin? For you don't know what lies ahead. You don't know what tomorrow brings. Today might be that last day when God will say to you, if you don't turn away from sin, you will be lost forever in eternity, separated from me. There is an invisible line in front of all of us, marked by God, where God will say, this far you can come and no further. And you do not know how close you are to that invisible line. Turn away from sin before you cross that line and die in your sin. Eternity has been placed in your hands, as Ecclesiastes tells us. And you realize that you've been made for something more. And so you're on your quest for meaning, for happiness, for blessedness. But the problem is you often pursue it in wrong places, in created things. They will not satisfy you. God is the only one that can satisfy you. True satisfaction, true life, abundant life is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Christ you can sing, I have a joy, joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. And that joy is there to stay. And I am so happy. Very, very happy. I have the love of Jesus in my heart. I know the devil doesn't like it, but it's down in my heart. And it's there to stay. That's the meaning of life. That's true happiness, abundant life. And true blessedness is living in full submission to God's sovereign purposes for you in this world. And what that means for all of us as God's children, that even if there are those times when you seem confused, you don't know what God wants you to do, you are not so clear in what God is calling you to do, submit to his sovereign purpose. He will lead you. He will guide you. But if you are not a Christian this morning, I say to you, there's an appointed time for everything under the earth. Today might just be your last day to hear God speaking to you and saying, come, believe in my Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sin. Or that you may realize that God doesn't owe you extra time. And 30th January 2022, we will never come again. Make the most of the time you have. Don't waste it. Turn away from sin and come to Christ today. And you will find in him abundant life. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you may teach us to number our days aright, and that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Many are the times we feel like we live for eternity, and often waste our lives. We waste our lives in worldly pursuits, things that do not even profit our souls and do not glorify your name. We ask that you help us to have this agency that Christ had to do his Father's will and to fix his gaze on the sovereign purposes of his Father. Life on earth is puzzling at times. But oh, what a joy to know that our hands are in the care of the sovereign ruler of the sky, who's ever gracious and ever wise. And in those moments when we seem confused, cause us not to doubt your wisdom or to question your wisdom. But we pray for those of our friends here this morning who have had opportunities, not only this morning, but even many times, to hear you speak to them, calling and pleading that they come to you. Help them to realize that there is an appointed time for everything under the earth. And help them to see that time will soon be passed, and one life only. Help them not to waste it away in worldly pursuits and sensual pleasures, but that they will seek true wisdom, and true wisdom is Jesus Christ. Lord, we plead that you hear our cry before them and cause that your word do not return void. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.